kids, and we're dedicating them to the Lord this morning. Yeah, it's a good thing to clap. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and what he's doing in our midst here. It really is. When we came about 3 years ago, there was hardly any kids here, and so this is a huge blessing. God is doing something significant here. So I'm excited about what God is doing and what he's doing here in our family at Trinity Baptist. If you're new here today, we welcome you. We hope you feel the love of Christ here, that you're welcome here. We're glad that you're with us. In the word of God, he says that we are called to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. And today we're rejoicing for what God has done in these families' lives and the birth of new children. And I wonder, when we have events like this, when we celebrate something in the physical, my question with the Lord is, God, what are you doing in the spiritual? What do you want to say to us spiritually today, this morning? And so I believe there's something new happening here at Trinity. I've been excited for the last month or so. You know, when you have a secret or something, or you feel something and you feel it inside you. And I'm not one that will explode with exuberance or over the top like Brad, but I feel it inside that something is percolating here at Trinity, and so I'm excited. Before I begin, I'd like to testify publicly on Paula's behalf that God has done a miracle. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. This past year, her feet were in so much pain. We began thinking that we should move to a different house that would be wheelchair accessible, potentially, that we didn't know what would happen with her feet. Her feet were excruciating pain to the point where she felt like she was walking on glass every day for a year. And so we've been praying a lot. And a couple of weeks ago, we had a group of people come up and we prayed for her and we petitioned to the Lord. There were some words of knowledge that were shared that were very significant. And then last week, Paula shared the sermon and her feet began to feel different as she was preaching. And on Monday, and this whole week, she's had no pain and no inflammation in her feet. So much so she's run and she's danced and she's jumped up and down. And I went, "Who, God, okay. Are you sure, Paul?" This is unbelievable. I'm astounded. Thank you, Lord. So I stand in awe of what God has done. It's God, because the doctors had no idea what would the treatment would be or how it would be for her. And so we give all the glory to the Lord and we praise him. This is a miracle. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are a God who does miraculous things. I thank you in the midst of the waiting, Lord, that you speak. In our tiredness and our weariness, God, of waiting for the answer, that you meet us in that place. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful. So today I thank you that you celebrate children, Jesus, that you love them. And I pray, Lord, for the children that have yet to come to Trinity. Lord, I thank you for the children that are still waiting in the hearts of parents who continue to petition and cry out for their own children. God, we ask for a miracle. Would you do the unbelievable and the unthinkable? And we celebrate today for the gift of the children in our midst. And we give you glory because each one is a miracle and a gift from you. Amen. So this morning I asked my friend Margaret if I could share a story of her son. And she wrote this story, and I'll read it. "Blessed and tearful by my oldest son, Elliot. He spent an hour or so with our elderly neighbor across the street after school one day, just talking, her and him, about everything and nothing. She passed away just 5 days later in her home. We just learned today what a blessing that time with my son was to her from her caregiver. He made her day that day, she told her caregiver. You never know when you are going to have opportunity to impact someone's life. Proud and blessed by my son who taught me a lesson. Slow down and show some Jesus to people. And that's our heart as we look at our children today, is oftentimes we can look at them and wonder, what God, what are you saying through them? And oftentimes it's a picture of slowing down and seeing the wonder all around you and showing Jesus to people. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 to 26 in the message reads, the way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. One part flourishes and every other part comes into exuberance. And so that's what we're doing today. We're coming into exuberance of what the Lord is doing. God ordained that each person here, from the very youngest to the very oldest, has a significant part to play in our body and in the lives of this church. And we've been talking about that for a long time already in our series, Joined Together. And we're going to continue this morning with the significance of children. And as I read 1 Corinthians 12, I thought about our children here at Trinity. I thought, do we think about children as we worship? So as we're worshiping and entering in, do we think about the children here? Or do we think, oh man, please take those children downstairs soon. But they're not going downstairs, we're celebrating them. Or do we welcome them into our worship? Every part of our worship, if you looked at the back, the kids were flagging, they were dancing around, and they were celebrating the Lord in their own way. Are children here just because their parents are? Or do we have a part to play as we worship together? What significant part do they play in our midst at Trinity Baptist? If God says that every part is dependent on every other part, from the very youngest to the very oldest, what is their part? How is God speaking to them? How will we know the sound that they're making is not just noise, but praise to God in their own way? And I'm fascinated at what the children are learning downstairs from God, from our Sunday school team. It's amazing. Phoebe comes home and shares stories that she's learning about Jesus, and it's an amazing thing. I believe our children give us a glimpse of simplistic faith and trust. And that's kind of my message today, simplistic faith and trust in the Lord. For most of my adult life, I worked with children. I worked with them in daycares and then in the school system. And I absolutely love kids. And what I came to realize is that kids not only believe what you say, but they listen to everything that comes out of your mouth. They are great recorders of information, but they are very poor interpreters of that information. Believe me. And this week as I prepared, I felt God was reminding me of the simplicity of being a child and knowing the Father's voice. And as I've watched Phoebe grow, what is astonishing is the fact that she is listening and imitating my every move. Her father. Sure, she imitates Paula too. But what I've found is that there is something with her and I, her father and daughter. Sometimes I catch her watching every move I make, or she'll repeat what I say, and jokingly I can say, wow, that scares me a bit. But in all honesty, if I were to think about that, it should scare me a bit as a father. It should cause me to pause and to evaluate how I'm living my life out in front of her and in the community of others, not just her. How am I loving Paula? And what impact does my behavior have on another person? Am I living in fear, afraid to step out, to take risks? Am I angry or critical toward others? Do I use my words as weapons? Am I insensitive to the needs of others? Hoarding on to my own life, afraid to lose it for the sake of another. We've all heard the expression, it takes a village to raise a child. And if this be the case, then our children, yes, our children here, each one of them is watching each one of us. They are watching our every move. They are imitating us, how we treat one another, how we speak to each other, how we worship, how we love. And I think that's really critical, how we love each other and how we talk to one another. They are recording all the information and taking it all in and filing it away, and it will come back. It will come out. And they're looking at how we treat others, how we see God, and how they see God through our actions. And I was gonna make a joke. I loved Parker's outfit today, the Argyle. And I thought, oh, I'm glad I didn't wear my red pants because he's wearing his red pants. And is Parker watching me? You know, learning how it goes. He dresses so well. And I know that each one of us has gone through this stage of development where we have looked to somebody else, be it our caregiver, mother, father, aunt, uncle, teacher, whoever it has been who has been put in charge of us. We have looked at them and focused our gaze toward them, seeking to learn and understand about life. Jesus imitated the Father so we could know the Father. And this points us to the Father. His heart for each one of us to imitate him, to listen intently to his words and to believe every word he says, to trust him fully, even if we don't understand or have all the answers about life. Could it be as simple as trusting God and loving others? As simple as that. Mark 10:13-16 in the Message reads, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, and Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children aside. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands a blessing on them. I don't know about you, but I love these verses. Simple, truthful, meaningful. And at the very center of life in the kingdom, Jesus says, are children. At the very center of life in the kingdom are children. Let that just sink in. What was Jesus saying in these verses? That at the very center of life in the kingdom are children. We read further in Mark that Jesus encounters a rich man who has great wealth. He has everything that he can ever want or imagine. And he has kept all the commandments of the Lord since he was a boy. And he asks, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This man had everything, but one thing this man lacked. One thing. He didn't have the faith of a child to trust God. Because a child would have given everything away. What, to follow Jesus? I'll give everything away. Nothing matters. Kids are like, they'll follow you. If they know it's an adventure, if they know it's something exciting, they will follow. This man didn't have the faith of a child to trust God. He wasn't able to sell everything and just have his treasure in heaven. And in verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at Jesus' words. And I paused and I thought, why did Jesus call them children? He just had this experience with the disciples shooing away the children, and here now was Jesus calling them children. Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. Could he have been trying to explain again the significance of being like a child? To come willingly to receive a blessing with simplistic trust and faith? And that's our greatest gift, is to believe that kingdom living means nothing to ours of ours is to hold on to. Nothing. We can't hold on to anything in the kingdom of God. And we follow God fully abandoned in faithful trust. So what happens when we're dumbfounded with questions and by our circumstances, when we have no answers to the hard questions? Can we still be at peace, fully trusting God? Can this be where our faith fully lies, in this simplistic faith and trust in God? On Friday, Paula was speaking at a wedding, and so we went to this wedding, and it was a really nice wedding, fun. And you know, I don't know about you, when you sit at a table at the reception, you always wonder, who am I going to sit with, and will this be a fun table? And I like to have fun. I like to have a fun table and energetic, and everyone's talking. And I've been to some receptions where it's been, wow, this is very awkward. And no one says a thing. But this table, we greeted those at our table, and the usual question is asked. So, what do you do for a living? And I shared that I was associate pastor, and the table got silent. And I wasn't sure if it was the pastor part or the plugs I wear in my ears or how I was dressed or whatever. But somehow it took them by surprise. But what this did was it spurred a conversation about faith. It spurred a conversation about life, of religion and heritage. We were at a table. There was a Lutheran. There was a Roman Catholic. There was Paula and I, the Baptists. There was the photographer sitting at our table who didn't share their faith. And there was one person at the table who shared her story, that she doesn't go to church anymore. And she was probably late 50s, early 60s. And our table got quiet, and her friend said, "What? You don't go to church anymore?" And she shared, "No one had answers to my questions, so I left the church." She went on to say that she had left her faith because she didn't have the answers to her questions. So my thought in my head was, where was this person's trust? Was she trusting people to give her the right answer? Was she trusting herself that she would figure out the answer on her own through knowledge and philosophy? Or was she trusting God with simplistic faith? When we have no answers to our questions, where do we turn? Can we have the simplistic trust and faith as a child to believe in God no matter what, even if we don't have the right answers? Reading near the end of Mark in verses 46 to 52, Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, and they encountered Bartimaeus, blind and begging. And here Bartimaeus hears that Jesus is close, and he shouts, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And people tried to hush him. They rebuked him, kind of like the disciples did to the children, hushing them, pushing them away. Yet he shouts out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and said, "Call him." like Jesus said to the children, let them come. And they called Bartimaeus over. And he jumps to his feet. And Jesus asks, what do you want me to do for you? And Bartimaeus says, Rabbi, I want to see. And I think of those children who came and sat on Jesus' lap. What was their simplistic faith and trust in him? What did they ask of Jesus? The simple things, Jesus, I want to see. What a simple statement that is. What simple faith and trust in him. And Jesus' response was, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. What a simple story, profound truth. Did Bartimaeus have childlike faith? Was he fearful of Jesus? What is the importance of children in our midst this morning? And what part do they play in the body? Maybe it's the very notion that we can make things so overly complicated in faith. I think of, you know, things that we can make faith to be so complicated, so difficult, and yet here is a story, very simple faith. When to trust God doesn't mean we will get all the right answers. It doesn't mean we will, ever. We've walked that through as a body this year. We've walked it through as a family. We wanted an answer, a specific answer, and God didn't give it the way we wanted. And yet God answered. God was faithful in the midst of that. He was faithful. All he is asking of us is, do you believe? Do you believe? This morning, if you're a visitor, do you believe the astonishing work of Jesus? Because it's astonishing. Can you have faith that you can accept God's sovereignty and that is enough? Paula and I faced God's sovereignty for a year. God, can we trust your sovereignty when we continue to pray for healing, it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and it doesn't happen, and you get weary and you get tired, and it doesn't happen, and then one day it happens. We were faced with God's sovereignty over and over again, and we had to come back to the simplistic faith that God knew, even if we didn't. So do we have faith to leave everything that we know, everything that we've held on to, all the thoughts, all the things in us that we've held in our tight little box, our self? Do we have enough faith to leave everything to follow after the heart of God? And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. Do we have the faith to leave everything to follow after him? So this morning, I'd like to end. I'd like to ask the children to come forward. All the kids. If you want to come forward, and Mr. Bruce, if he can come forward, I call him Mr. Bruce, because Phoebe calls him Mr. Bruce. All the kids, you can come on up. And if you feel like a kid this morning, you'd like to come up, come on up. You guys can stand over here. Stand over with Mr. Bruce. Guess what, kids? Mr. Bruce is going to take you on an adventure. Yeah, an adventure. So he's going to take you on an adventure. So I'll leave you with Mr. Bruce. Your mama. Here you go. Woo! Go see mama. So did the children know where they were going and what the final destination was going to be. They had no clue. They didn't know that at the end of the hunt would be a chest full of chocolate, yum, which, you, by the way, parents, you can have some too, like later, after this service. Grandparents, relatives, friends, help yourself. But they didn't know what was awaiting them. But they followed Mr. Bruce, much like we follow the Lord. When we are hearing the Father's voice, we will follow him. We will trust him with simplistic faith that he knows the final destination and he knows what we'll receive at the end. So thanks, Bruce, for doing that. So I believe God is asking each one of us this morning, do you want to go on an adventure? And trust me, children, you don't need to know all the answers, but come, follow after me. Follow after me. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you imitated the Father, that you knew your Father, that you took time to be with your Father. And your very life points us to the Father. And I thank you that you have an adventure for each person here this morning. I thank you that we don't need to know the answers, but you're faithful, God, to show us, to give us wisdom and revelation. I thank you that you're loving and kind. And I thank you that this treasure, even what we opened this morning with the kids, is a tiny sliver of the amazing things that you want to show us. Lord, you say that you have a banqueting table and that you prepare a feast. And so, Lord, I thank you for that, that you're doing that right now for us. And you say, taste and see that the Lord is good. So would we taste and see that you are good this morning? And we thank you for our children here. And we thank you that they, again, are a miracle and a blessing that comes from you. Have your way with them, Lord. Have your way with them, Lord. And help us to trust you, God, with every aspect of their life. Help us not to trust ourselves, but help us to trust you, God. Amen.
Parents and children, could you come forward? Pierre and Simone, actually, I'm going to get